This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
All right, I want you to get your Bibles out. And if you haven't got your Bible, you can get your notice sheet because I've put our main scripture in the notice sheet. And I want you to turn to John 14. And we're going to start at verse 7. And I think in the notice sheet, I put it from the Message Bible. So I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible to start with. It's really good if you can to have, I'd encourage you to have a few translations of the Bible at home. Or if you've got your iPad or your technical device, you can download for free lots of different versions. And what's really good about that is the Word doesn't change. But when we read it sometimes in different language or a different translation, we can just get a different view of it. So I'm going to read this from the Message, and we're going to start actually verses 6, I think it is, in the Message. It says, Jesus said, I am the road, also the truth, also the life. No one gets to the Father apart from me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him. You've even seen him. Philip said, Master, show us the Father. Then we'll be content. Don't you love that? Don't you love Philip? Just show us and then we'll be content. You've been with me all this time, Philip, and you still don't understand. To see me is to see the Father. So how can you ask, where is the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you aren't mere words. I don't just make them up on my own. The Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act. Believe me, I am in my Father and my Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see, these works. The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things, because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I'm doing, I'll do. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I'll do. What I want to look at in there, we're going to stop there, is that line where it says, that's how the Father will be seen for who he is. And my question to you today is, can the world see God through you? God wants to reach people through you. It doesn't happen often. I'd hazard a guess that most of us in here today already have a relationship with God. It's very rare in our society, although it's going to happen more and more, that people are just cruising on by and decide, I think I'll just pop into that church. And, you know, God can do miraculous things like that, and he's going to do that in the coming days, so we better be ready. But generally, how he reaches people and people have an encounter with him is through you. Not in here. They usually come in here to learn more about him and to grow once they've had an encounter with him. So usually their initial encounter with God is through someone, through you. For me, it was through my family. It was my initial encounter with God. I saw God in my mum and my dad, and you know, and that is how I met God. I didn't meet him in the church. People come into the church after they've met him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And we're often ready to say to God, I'm ready to do big things for you, God. I'm ready to give up what I have to give up and give me the ministry and let me go to the mission field, which is a good thing, all those things, but we're ready. I see Tim nodding. Yes, that's a good thing. They're good things, and we're ready to say that, God, I'll do anything you ask. I'll go anywhere you want me to do. And sometimes he says to us, stay right where you are. Stay in the job you're in. Stay with the family you're in. Stay in the community you're in. Just stay right where you are. And sometimes that can be a bit more of a challenge to us. We like the idea of maybe going somewhere and doing something great, but to stay where we are in the job that we're in the family that we're in the community that we're in can be a challenge. Allowing the world around us to see God through us is not about showing them how spiritual we are. It's not about getting out our Bible and showing them all the places that we've coloured in. My Bible's pretty coloured in. And sometimes when I really mean it, I'll even underline it and colour it in. And it's really great when the preacher stands up and quotes a verse and I've got it underlined. Sorry, I turned that off. Sorry, Catherine. I'll turn it around this way so I can't turn it off. It's not about showing or telling people how spiritual we are. It's not about telling them that we go to church on Sunday. It's not even about telling them what we do at church on Sunday. It's about showing them what God is like. So today we're going to talk about our character. It's about our character. It's about going the extra mile. It's about putting others first. It's about being a servant. What do people hear when they hear you speak? Not in here, at your job, in your family, when you meet someone up the street, when you're cruising down the street of Mombok on your way to the post office and you happen to just cruise into Julie's All Ages on the way, get distracted. What do they hear you talk? What do they hear you say? What do they see when they're watching you do that? Does your walk line up with your talk? Our conduct is critical in revealing the Father to the unsaved. And I'm not talking about how spiritual we are. That's important that we have that relationship with God, but I'm talking about everyday, ordinary, when you get up in your pyjamas like everybody else does and you're having your breakfast and you're having conversation, what about then? In 1 Peter 3:9 and in the New Living Translation, and this is, the Bible is full of instructions about our conduct. But this was just something that hit me, and it's where he's talking about wives, but who knows, the Bible is a principle, not necessarily just about, this is talking about wives in this culture. It says, in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewellery or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourself instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. That's pretty clear that our conduct, it's not about sitting down like a wife sitting down and telling her husband what she heard at church and what the pastor said and he should have been there, or husband saying that to your wives, vice versa. It says, they will be won over by observing your pure and reverent life. Let's have a look at Colossians together. I want to go to Colossians 3. I wanted to pick a bit out of this passage to read, but I couldn't, so guess what? We're reading the whole thing. You know me well. Since you have, I'm in Colossians 3, starting at verse 1. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honour at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share his glory. So now we're talking about our conduct. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behaviour, slander and dirty language. Don't lie to each other. For you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters. And He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Children, obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done, for God has no favourites. There's so much in that and we could talk about that for a long time, but it covers every area of our life. It talks about husbands, it talks about wives, it talks about children, and it talks about children obeying their parents. It talks about, in verse 22, when it says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. It's talking about your boss. It's talking about your job. And this is what Jesus is asking us to do. He's saying, what is your character like? At your job, when you go to work, do you talk about your boss if you don't like him? Do you complain to the other people you work with about your boss? Or are you praying for him or her? You know why Sean is laughing? It's because for a long time I've worked under a boss that I found very difficult. And I kept praying every year she went on holiday, she would come back saying, I'm going to retire this year. Well, that's been going wrong for about 10 years. And she still hasn't retired. And I would ask God, I would pray for her, please change her, Lord. Retire her. Let her retire, please. But you know what had to happen, what had to change? You know that, you know that. There is always going to be someone in our life who challenges our character. Who challenges the way we react. Was I being influenced? I actually wasn't going to talk about that. That was Shauna's fault. That's okay. It's the truth though. We all have someone like that in our lives, don't we? And you can pray for that to change, but guess what? I can guarantee it's going to be God asking you to do some changing and it's going to be challenging to your character. The Bible is full of instructions about our conduct, the way we talk, about the things we do. The whole of the New Testament, all the letters that Paul wrote, everything, it was to the churches and he was talking to them not about their salvation. This isn't going to affect your salvation, but this is going to affect the victory that you have now, and it's going to affect how many people you reach and how many people you show God to through you. There's a whole book of the Bible devoted to our conduct. There's lots of, through the whole Bible. But who knows, the book of Proverbs is all about our conduct. So if you're having any problems and you don't know where to go, go straight to Proverbs. Let me read just the first six verses in Proverbs. It says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. It sounds like a blurb on the back of a book, doesn't it? That was Proverbs 1, verses 1 to 6 in the New Living Translation. It does, it sounds like, you know, when you're reading the back of the book, God lays it out. He says, the reason I put this book in the Bible, it's to teach you to live disciplined and successful lives, to do what is right, fair and just. Got a question for you. How would people describe you to someone who hadn't met you? Would they say, I'm not talking about your physical appearance, I'm talking about your character. If you were going for a job interview, for instance, and someone had to describe your character, would they say that you were giving or needy? Would they say that you were accepting or judgmental? Positive or negative? And I know that we all have times in our life where we're some of these things, but I'm talking about the majority of your life. You know, there's a feel about you. There's a feel about you. There's something that you take with you. When people are with you, they either think, they're always negative. They're always thinking about, most of the day they're always positive. Are you approachable or are you walled up? You know, do people feel like they can come to you and talk to you about things, or do they like, I've got to go and talk to Karen about that and I don't know how to do it. I was in the supermarket this morning, and do you know what I realised I was doing? I had to buy the milk for church, and I walked out of the supermarket, and I did this morning before I was going to get up and preach this message. And there was someone in there I knew, and I thought, if I make eye contact with that person, they're going to want something from me. So do you know what I did? Got to go to church. Quick. Do you do that when you're walking down the street? Are you looking people in the eye? Even a smile. Are you slow to anger? Or have you got a little teeny weeny short fuse? Are you selfless? Or are you selfish? Are you compassionate? Or are you indifferent? Are you reliable? Or are you irresponsible? Are you hardworking? Or do you just do what you need to do to get by? Are you a confidant? Or are you a gossip? Are you encouraging? Or are you critical? Are you an overcomer? Or are you overcome? Are you appreciative or are you complaining? Are you kind or are you mean? Are you considerate or are you uncaring? Are you a victor or are you a victim? Are you patient or are you pushy? Are you peaceful or are you stressed? It's just everything, and sometimes we don't even realise we're doing it. We are Christ's representatives on the earth. We are his ambassador. What are we showing the world what the kingdom of God is like? And often we do think, I wish I could just get so-and-so to come to church with me, and then they'd sing great songs and they'd hear a great word and all these, you know, the atmosphere would be just right and the lights would be turned down and it would all be wonderful and God would be there. And that doesn't happen like that usually. Who knows, it can happen. But what I'm saying is the first impression that people have with the kingdom of God is when they talk to you. First impression. It's not about being perfect on our own. Who knows, I just told you what I did this morning in the supermarket. I know that I can never achieve it on my own. I've proved it. When I'm left to my own devices, I make a mess of things. In John that we were reading before, when Jesus tells the disciples that they'll represent him on the earth, he tells them that the Holy Spirit will come and empower them and enable them to do what he's told them to do. We can only be true ambassadors for Christ by yielding to the Holy Spirit, and we have to do it every day. And sometimes, like me, you might need to do it a few times a day. People are watching. And what are they seeing? People are listening. And what are they hearing? It does matter. It does matter. We go out there and we say we belong to Mombok Christian Fellowship or we're Christians, and people then straight away, as soon as you tell them you're a Christian, they're looking. They're watching. It does matter. What picture are you painting with your life? When people come into your house, are you hospitable? Do you invite people into your house? Do people come into your house? Would people want to come to your house? When they come into your house, do they find peace, or could you cut the air with a knife? When people hear you talk, what are they hearing? Victor or victim? The greatest testimony is a life that has been transformed by the Holy Spirit. Does your life say to people, Jesus saved me and radically changed my life? Or does it say, I'm a believer, but Jesus hasn't changed my life at all? When you're talking with people, you know, I don't often meet people and then say, just come and sit down with me and let me show you all the scriptures I've got coloured in my Bible. And that'll tell you how spiritual I am, or how, you know. And there's this big discussion seems to happen in my life a lot, and it happened actually with one of my daughters in the car on Thursday about religion. About religion, and I was trying to say, you know, I'm not a religious person. I like to think I'm not a religious person. A spiritual person. Have a relationship with God, with the living, true God. And I like to say that I'm not a religious person, but do my actions, honestly, sometimes I think I am a bit religious. In some of the things I do, what you see is what you get, and I can't hide what I'm thinking very well. I wouldn't be a very good poker player. And you know, sometimes people tell me stuff, I'm like, you know, just that. Just that little look is enough to, that's pretty, really? Okay. That says a lot to people. That's subtle, isn't it? It's that subtle in your life. You know, when one of my girls say something to me about where they're going or what they're doing, I'm like, okay, maybe I probably wouldn't do it like that, but, you know, we get judgmental without even meaning to be. We like to think we're not religious, but I think sometimes we are. Or even like today, I've got to get to church, but not look at that person, oh, they might need something from me. Wouldn't that be terrible? It's about the little things. It's about making eye contact with people. It's about finishing what you say you're going to do. It's about being at your job on time. If you've got a job. If you've got a job, be thankful you've got a job. If you're retired, yay for you. That's great. You're retired. But who knows? Just let me tell you. When you're retired, there's no retiring in the kingdom of God. And I'm just going to, I haven't asked these people, I'm going to share this little testimony anyway, and they can go mad at me later. I had Leone ring me during the week saying, there's a possum, a dead possum in my downpipe. And it was pouring, wasn't it, Leone? And the water was gushing over. And I'm thinking, who, I don't, Charlie was at the, in the other side of the city somewhere. And, but you know what? Gordon, Leone, I said to Leone, maybe try Gordon. And I said, he's great, this stuff like that. And not long later, half, I don't know how long it was later, Leone, that you rang me back to say, it's all sorted, Gordon came, got the dead possum out of my pipe, everything's happy. That sort of thing is important.
The possum wasn't too happy.
The possum wasn't happy. Was the possum dead? Yeah, anyway, we won't talk about dead possums. The point is, it's those sort of things. It's being available. It's about being people of our word. It's about giving, you know, going the extra mile, doing the excellent thing, being excellent people. At your job, turning up on time, staying till it's time to go home, not taking too long for lunch. It's about all of those little things. It's about the way we talk to people, or the way we, the things that we don't say. It's about the way we look at people. It's about our home. It's about the way we are to each other. It's about, it even comes down to the things we wear. It's about the car you drive. And I'm not saying that we all, I mean, the Bible tells us that we don't need to have all fabulous, fancy, gold and hairdos, although those things are okay. It just says don't, not to be ruled by those things. But we need to be, when people look at you and they look at your house, and it's not about how fancy it is, it's about what you have, the way you look after it. It's about the way you look after yourself. What do they see? I often tell people, I don't tell people, I tell Charlie. If you want people to know what a great builder you are, don't bring them to our house. That's the truth. And that's not meant to be a criticism as such of my husband. Who knows, you know, when you're married to a... Loretta's not here. If you're married to an electrician, you've probably got 10 light bulbs that need changing in the house. If you're married to a mechanic, your car probably has needed a tune-up for the last year or something like that. Well, it's the same. When you're married to a builder, he's off building everybody else's houses, and the last thing he wants to do when he comes home is build yours. All right, but my example is, if Charlie wants people to know what a great builder he is, don't bring them to my house. If we want to show people what the kingdom of God looks like, are we willing to bring them to our house? I don't mean here, I actually mean your house. Would you be embarrassed if someone walked through your house? I don't mean we have to be perfect. Would you be embarrassed to give someone a lift in your car? Sometimes I am. Sometimes when I pick up the seniors, I'm so glad some of them don't see so well. Isn't that right? But that's the truth. But we like to be spiritual. We drive to church in our car that's full of rubbish. And we think it's not important. It is important. All right, and I'm not trying, what I'm trying to say is all of these little things are important. We want to be people of excellence. And it is making an impact. First impressions of the kingdom of God are with you. You are the receptionist. Megan has just got a job recently. I don't know if I've told everyone that. Praise God, my youngest daughter, who's been looking for work for a long time, has got full-time employment. And it started because she really wanted to get into admin. And anyway, she got a job 2 days a week. It just started. And she was on the front receptionist desk, answering the calls, greeting people. When that first point of call, when people come into that company, you need to represent yourself well, because whether you like it or not, people will judge that. And if you're the reception, you're like, how are you going, and chewing gum, and your hair's all greasy, and you've got tomato sauce all over your top, not a great impression. If I walked into a company like that, Tim, don't get a receptionist like that. If I walked into a company like that, I don't know that I wouldn't think they really don't know how to conduct their business here. So anyway, Megan didn't look like that. And she did a good job. And they came up to her a couple of days later and said, we've been watching you. And we've been listening, without her knowing, to some of your phone calls. And you have been saying all the right things and doing all the right things. And we want to promote you. And we want to put you in our sales and services department full time with a pay rise. She's just excited because she gets her own desk and her own email address and she's getting paid for it. She thinks it's fabulous. But what I'm saying is she was doing the right thing while nobody was watching. And she got a promotion that she didn't even know was available. She didn't even know that job was there. They weren't advertising that job. They made a place for her because they could see what a good job she was doing. You're the same. You are the first point of call. You are the reception. And the way you present yourself, the way you talk, and I'm not saying, who knows, I have pyjama days. My most favourite thing to do when it's cold and rainy outside and I know that I don't have a meeting to go to is I go home and I put on my pyjamas and I love that. But they're good looking pyjamas. They're decent pyjamas. So what I'm saying is it's not that we can't be perfect, but we have to do the very best we can with what God's given us. The way we talk, the way we dress, the way our homes look, the way our cars look, all of those things are important. So that's my challenge to you today. If we want to be powerful for the kingdom of God, if we want the church of God to be a powerful force in the world today, what we have to get in order is our personal conduct. Our character must have a firm foundation. If we don't have all those little things in order, it's not going to stop you from going to heaven. You're still going to go to heaven. If you believe, you know the requirements, you know the conditions of entering to heaven is to believe in Jesus, to believe that he is the Son of God, that he died and rose again. And we know, we all shared around the communion table today. Having a dirty car is not going to stop you from getting into heaven. But let me tell you, living a life that is sub-God standard is going to affect the victory and the things that he's going to let you walk in this life. If we can't even look after the things that he's given us, why would he give us anything else to do? Why would he trust us with anything else? Oh, you're so quiet. Okay. I want you to stand. I'm going to pray for us all. I'm going to pray that next time I go to Safeway, I'm going to walk like this. That really hit me this morning, and I want you to think about that. Are we so busy with our agenda? I had to get to church. That makes it even worse that I was going to church when I did that. You know? And I don't want you all now to... I'm not going to be looking in your car windows. All right? I'm not going to come and surprise visit you at home. Or maybe I will. The thing is, it's not about anyone checking up on you. It's about you wanting to do that. God is always watching you. God's always looking in your car door. He's always listening to you. And you are his receptionist. You are the first point of call for the kingdom of God. And your impression, that first impression people get of the kingdom of God when they look at you is going to stick with them. And we want that to be a good one. All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you have given us your word. And it is full of instructions. It is full. If we would look, you say, Lord, if we would look and we would dig, there is treasure. There is treasure there that would change our lives. And Holy Spirit, I pray this week that you would challenge us Holy Spirit, that you would challenge us on areas of our character that need challenging. Sometimes, Lord, we fall into situations that we don't even realize how we got there or that we're there. Or, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that this week you let us hear ourselves. That when we speak, we would hear that. And we would hear what that sounds like to somebody else. And Lord, that we would, each one of us in this house, we would be good representatives, that we would be good ambassadors, that we would put aside our own agendas, Lord, and we would put your agenda first, the kingdom of God, that we would seek your kingdom first, and then everything else that we've been so busy trying to get and do, you will add to us. And Lord, we do. We want this house to be a bright, shining light for you. And it's not about this property so much, Lord God. It's about when we go out into our everyday lives, when we're at work this week, when we're with our families, when we're talking, when we're shopping, when we're parking the car, when we're doing a good deed for someone, that we would be people of excellence, Lord God. And that the first point of call, us, for your kingdom, would be such a good example. People would be so drawn, they would look at us and go, now that's something I can be a part of. There's a people who know how to do their business. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in us, you enable us, you empower us, and that you're all we need. And we give you praise, and we want our lives to bring you the glory and the...
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.